Hello, guys, and welcome to Hudson Nations League Match Day 2. We have Germany, England, and also we are going to analyze the Match Day 3 for Spain and Portugal with Dani, with Álvaro, with you. Leave your comments below, and of course, don't forget, press the like and subscribe. And now, let's go on with the show. Second match day in the match in the Nations League and third for Spain and Portugal. And the first impressions, Dani and Álvaro, is that let's bet on the underdogs, no?
Well, of course, Ula, let's start to saying that none of the top six European teams in the FIFA rankings have won the opening match. Of course, Germany, Italy, Spain and Portugal were playing each other. But I think the top teams, and especially the teams with those players who have been involved to the later stages of the Champions League, the Europa League, a very competitive league until the end, like Serie A or Premier League, I think they're finding it hard. I don't know how you see that, Alvaro.
I do believe that at this stage of the competition, obviously, everyone is quite stiff and tired. But, you know, I believe that the fact that the Nations League, Daniele, pairs up together the best possible teams, well, makes this happen as well, right? If we had the conventional World Cup qualification group with Portugal playing against Bosnia and Spain playing against Faroe Island, probably they would have won. I mean, but they are playing against each other. So I don't think that this... stat is so impressive, to be honest.
Yeah. So let's start analyzing then the games, starting with the best one for sure, at least if we check the pedigree of the two national teams. Germany, England was a big disappointment, I'm sure. You heard many, many criticism in England after that defeat against Hungary, 1-0 with, for instance, Maguire, that I am always laughing with all the jokes in the UK about the Manchester United centre-back. Now playing in Germany, Germany is showing a little bit more of strength in these last games against Italy, against Netherlands, were two draws with a lot of firepower. Dani, on the attacking line, Werner, Müller, Sané, Gnabry, do you think England is going to bounce back and get a good result in Germany?
I think both teams are very, very hard to beat. So I was surprised with England results. I don't think they fully deserve to lose against Hungary. Maybe they were caught by surprise. They were caught a little bit cold. Maybe the system that Southgate deployed is not the best for the players at the moment. But, you know, they're hard to beat. It was the first England defeat since November 2020, 23 games. First time they didn't score in 14 games since the 0-0 against Scotland. On the other hand, Germany are unbeaten after the Euros, after that 2-0 defeat against England at Wembley. They are unbeaten under Hansi Flick. Against Italy, they dominated the ball. They had more chances, more possession. I think they lacked the cutting edge. They don't have a great goal scorer, although Timo Werner numbers in the national team are good, but behind him neither Gnabry nor Sané had a very horrible game, to be fair. You know, on the left he almost disappears. It's the same issue that we see with him at Bayern Munich. It's not quite in his right position. So they got issues there, Germany. They got issues also at the fullbacks, if you like. Kehrer is the right back, not the first choice at PSG. Then you go Henricks, Hoffman, who comes back from a long injury. Raum is an option. There is not a lot of international experience there. Center of defense is good with Süle and Rudiger. Great game from Rudiger. But, you know, I think they find it hard, Germany, against Italy. They find it hard against top teams as well. In the last 11 games against top teams, they only won one, and that was the 4-2 victory against Portugal at the Euros. They don't tend to score many goals in big matches either. So, you know, it is hard. I think between Germany and Italy after the game in Bologna, I would be more concerned with Germany because, after all, they are going to the World Cup, whereas Italy have to rebuild. So, I don't know. Let's see what happens with the formation, with Southgate, what sort of changes he makes. I would expect to see Abraham on the pitch, for example. But as I said, England hard to beat. I like the Asian handicap plus 0.25 for England, which pays 1.95. So if they draw, you win alpha stake. If they win, you win.
It would be nice to see Tammy Abraham after the great season he did with Roma. Alvaro, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a draw because of the many things that Danny said, no, that these are two difficult teams to beat and the odds are around 3.5. It's very balanced, as we can see in the odds.
It is balanced. I think that both teams need to give a good impression. England, especially after having lost against Hungary and not playing very well. I expect plenty of changes in the English side, probably the likes of Grealish, Sterling or Saka even could have a chance. Maybe Justin won't play because he picked an injury as well, so I think that this will put Bukayo Saka on the pitch, and Bukayo Saka was good against Hungary. He created a chance for himself, and generally speaking, I think that the English side normally doesn't lose two games in a row, and Germany at home should at least get a point. So yeah, the draw is perfectly acceptable and very, very valid option here. But, you know, I even think that this game is so difficult to call that I'm going to go for another market, both teams to score. That pays 182, and I like this one. Even though I have to say that in the last six games between Germany and England, in four of them, the both teams to score thing hasn't happened. So, you know, keep that in mind. I mean, the precedents don't necessarily back this, but at the same time, I saw Germany the other day creating a lot of chances against Italy, and England can score many goals. And in fact, even against Hungary, Harry Kane and especially Jarrod Bowen had good scoring chances. Harry Kane at the end of the game, he got a really good shot that hit just the side of the net. But generally speaking, I think that these two teams can score goals. So both teams to score for me here is the most reasonable thing to go for. And I am slightly more optimistic than Daniel about Germany. Not only they are in the World Cup and all that, but also they are a better side than they were at the Euro. They've got a really good squad, in my opinion. But yes, in some very sensitive positions, maybe they don't have like a, you know, world class quality like the fullbacks or maybe the striker. But Kimmich, Goretzka, and Gundogan, they are phenomenal midfielders, some of the best in Europe. And then the wingers are fantastic as well. Rudiger and Süle are a really good pair of center backs. And on top of that, they got Hansi Flick, who knows how to make teams work. And in fact, under Hansi Flick, Germany has got 8 wins, 2 draws. I know that many of these games have been in World Cup qualifications. So that is obviously something that has to be mentioned. But generally speaking, I've seen Hansi Flick creating really good sides like Bayern in 2020. And I think that this Germany is going to be more competitive than we expect.
If we go for goals, if someone wants to check this market, over 2.5 goals, 2.12. The bookies expect an under. And another point I think that we have to take in consideration is what Danny said at the beginning. It's been a very long season. We have the two national teams where the players mainly play in their competitions. And the German one has been decided a long time ago and is shorter than the English one that they played, as we all know, until the end for the title. And is much more demanding in terms of games. This is Germany-England to be played on Tuesday, and that very same day we have Italy-Hungary. This game is going to be played in Cesena, and this is news for the Italian national team, and I think they need a victory, of course, one victory in the last six games, and was that very sad friendly game against Turkey. Couldn't beat Germany after that defeat in the finalissima. Alvaro, I guess we all expect, after we have to talk, of course, with Danny, but Italy at 1 point, they have to react and get the 3 points, get a victory for the supporters.
Yeah, they should do it now. And, you know, the full-time market, when I was checking it before, it wasn't particularly impressive, in my opinion, for Italy to win. Let me review that again. Yeah, 143. So that's why I chose some other options here, like, for example, a clean sheet for Italy, 180. I think that this is the game to produce a clean sheet for the home side and just put the game to bed. And I think that this is very well paid. Or maybe the both teams to score no, which pays 170. Of course, Italy needs to show something better than they did so against Argentina in La Finalissima, and then of course they need 3 points ASAP, because you know that at the end of the day they want to be top of the group in the Nations League so they can be in the playoffs. I think that Germany was better than Italy the other day. They had more chances, but then Italy scored first thanks to that goal from Pellegrini, assisted by a player that I didn't know of, Daniele, Wilfred Nonto. He gave a very good pass to Pellegrini. Yeah. And then Hungary, I have to say that, you know, even if I am back in Italy here, against England they were very, very solid. They created a couple of really good chances. Szoboszlai, who has had a very disappointing season at club level, he wasn't running the show a little bit. And the truth is that, you know, Hungary, I never thought that they were a bad team. In the Euro, they proved that they were competitive in the most deep possible group stage. And against England, they were capable of beating them. But Italy hasn't won in the last two games. They lost to Argentina. They drew with Germany. I think that this is the time for them to win convincingly. So I'm going to back them with the voting.
Look, I think the draw...
And with the clean sheet to Italy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alvaro, what the draw against Germany for us, it felt a bit like a victory. Because yeah, you mentioned Nonto, but there are many other players that have been given the debut by Mancini. Some of them, they don't even play in Serie A. They're not starters. They are in Serie B. Nonto plays abroad for Zurich. Some of them play in the under-19. You know, Mancini is trying to rebuild. It's also like it's almost like a lab, you know, trying to experiment and try every single player that could be a national team material, as he did 4 years ago, and things, you know, went well for him. So there is some future, but I think it's going to be a long, long way to success. You know, it is a young team. We might see more changes again. They were a bit naive as well, because after scoring, they conceded after 3 minutes. Maybe a more experienced team would have managed to hang on to the lead. Now, I think with this Italian team, being the underdog might suit them. So being not expected to win might suit them while there are still work in progress. And this could be a potential banana skin against Hungary, because they will be expected to attack and to take the game on Hungary. So be careful with that, because again, Italy, let's see what kind of changes Mancini does, because, you know, he might bring back some of the old guard. He's still got on the bench Bonucci, Spinazzola, Barella, Di Lorenzo, so they might still play a part. It's not going to be completely new. But this team still doesn't have a full identity, whereas Hungary has. Hungary has got an identity. They know how to play. They know how to play against the top teams. So this could be potentially dangerous for an Italian team that also doesn't score many goals. You know, Scamacca had a good game against Germany, but, you know, the front line, they only scored 6 in the last 8 games past the Euros, if we exclude the 5-0 against Lithuania, as we should. Hungary, as I said, they are a team, they are a proper team, they work hard and they like when they get attack and they can hit you on the counter. In fact, after the Euros, they did very poorly in those teams that when they were expected Hungary to attack. So, you know, they did really well, especially attacking in wide areas, England. I'm not sure in Italy are going to find it easy, this one. I like the double chance for Hungary, but I like it perhaps more in the first half. A double chance in the first half, x2 at in Cesena, Italy-Hungary, 189.
Hungary, they were impressive in the Euros, then a bit disappointing in the road to Qatar. Álvaro, you were going to say something?
Yeah, very quickly. The double chance that Daniele said in the first half is pretty good. And also, you know, I'm expecting Italy to keep a clean sheet and probably to win. But a positive Asian handicap for Hungary is something that shouldn't be overlooked here. Asian handicap plus 1.5 for Hungary pays pretty well as well. Remember, you win basically if they lose by one, and that's a pretty good market here too. The total money for that, which I literally lost right now, is 172.
So it's good. It's a good one for the ACA, I think it's a good one. It's very good for the I'll put it.
And probably we shouldn't expect many goals, and the over and the under 2.5 goals pays exactly the same. If someone wants to go, in my opinion, perhaps we don't see many goals. For the under on Wednesday, let's move on to the next group. We have Belgium, Poland, with that defeat, a bit surprising, I would say. Belgium 1, Netherlands 4, especially because the result was huge and because Belgium, they are usually, or they've been in the past years, very strong when they are playing at home. We were saying, Danny, in our previous video, that many Belgian players are not arriving or they haven't played their best season. For instance, Lukaku, for instance, Hazard. And perhaps we saw it against Netherlands, but the bookies, and I guess we also expect Belgium to bounce back and to do a good performance against Poland, that these national teams, I think they never convince us, even if sometimes they get the results like they are doing lately.
Belgium, they look very, very tired against Netherlands, disjointed. Before the game, De Bruyne called the Nations League unimportant, like a burden for players that play a lot of games. And it showed that they really weren't there. You know, De Bruyne was Belgium's best player. He looks tired. He played over 50 games this season. The end of the season has been really, really difficult, really stressful for him. You know, anyone involved in the Premier League title, in the Champions League semi-final, final, it is difficult. Belgium are also without Courtois. You know, he deserves a rest as well. And I think I go back to my point first. The top teams, the top national teams with a lot of top players, I think they are paying the price. And perhaps Poland, they might be more rested also because they played Wales a while ago, so they got more time to prepare. Look, I think the fact with this Nations League, there are basically four fixtures, so it's like a mini Euros, but without the preparation of the Euros or the World Cup, because when teams go to the World Cup, they got like 2-3 weeks time to gel together, to train together. Now they are going in straight after the Champions League final. So I think top teams are paying the price on this one. Also, Belgium, they might be without Lukaku because he's injured, got an ankle injury. When he came off against the Netherlands, they didn't have a plan B. I was expecting to see Batshuayi on the pitch, but actually Martinez put Trossard on. So they play with a false nine. They couldn't hang on to the ball against a very strong physical Netherlands team. And also the defense of Belgium, I think, is a little bit of a concern. Two of the players are old, Vertonghen, Alderweireld, Boyata plays for Hertha Berlin, Alderweireld plays in Qatar, Vertonghen plays for Benfica. None of them play for top teams. So, I don't know. They really crumbled against Netherlands. Netherlands, a lot of chances. But normally Belgium at home are okay. You know, in the qualifiers, they've always been good. You've got a very good record, World Cup qualifiers, Euro qualifiers. But I don't know. I can't back them fully. I'm gonna go for the goals. I'm gonna go for an over 2.5 goals, 206.
It looks like the end of this golden generation of Belgium, number one in the totally. FIFA ranking, always disappointing us in the big tournaments. Álvaro, you are also that hard with Belgium?
I think that they have not always been disappointing. In World Cup 2018, they beat Brazil and they reached the semifinals and they lost to France, but that game could have gone either way. But yeah, generally speaking, I would say that this looks like a little bit like the end of this generation. Golden generation, in my opinion, never with the top manager, which is a massive thing, because Roberto Martinez, as much as he gets a lot of praise by the press, people probably magnify the fact that he won a cup with Wigan, and they forget very quickly that he got relegation with Wigan in that very season as well. Yeah. And I never thought that he was a great manager, and his best achievement, probably, in my opinion, was that he got 72 points with Everton in one season, which is something astonishing. But then the second and third season as Everton manager were very poor as well. I don't think that that Belgium got it right appointing Roberto Martinez as a manager. But in international football, it's true that it's difficult to get the best managers around. All that said, I think that Belgium is going to win this game because they lost very badly against the Netherlands. They have to make up amendments. They have to show a totally different face. And probably Simon Mignolet will not play. I really hope so after the terrible game he had. The goal of Bergwijn is totally stoppable, in my opinion. And then the third goal of Dumfries, I believe, he makes a massive mistake too. If Thibaut Courtois had been there, probably the result had been a bit different. Romelu Lukaku probably won't be playing. and you know, this opens up the possibilities to Batshuayi, a player who is also not enjoying his best possible time. And when it comes to the Polish national team, well, they are very rested, that's for sure. They beat Wales about 6-7 days ago, but that victory is not particularly conclusive, because I think that Wales that day was playing with 9 or 10 unusual subs. And but Poland got the win against them. I'm sure that they will treat this competition as a possibility to work ahead of the World Cup, especially because they've got a tough group ahead of them. So for this game, I'm going to go for something very simple here. Belgium to win. That pays 170, and at the minute I'm not ready to go for more odds here, because the Polish national team for me is a bit of a conundrum, because they haven't played football for a long time now in comparison to the rest of the teams.
And next game in this group is Wales-Netherlands, and motivation is very important, of course, in this kind of games. And for Wales, the job of the summer is absolutely done. Of course, the big game was against Ukraine, and they are qualified for the World Cup. So perhaps now they suffer a little bit of hangover against Netherlands. Álvaro, that's why the bookies put the Netherlands really favorite. Odds are 1.7. And opposite what is happening with Belgium, this Netherlands team is growing and growing with a great manager, as we all know, like Louis van Gaal.
Yep, very good pronunciation, by the way.
I try to pronounce it in a Dutch way, yeah, because I have many Dutch friends and I try it. Yeah,
that's impressive. I think that the Netherlands, you know, something that catches my attention automatically is Memphis Depay. The fact that he has scored 13 goals, 1-3, after Euro 2020, which is basically in less than a year, 13 goals with the national team. Then he was the top scorer of Barcelona this season, even though he didn't have particularly great numbers. But with the national teams, he's scoring plenty of goals. And the truth is that my eyes went straight to how much are we getting if Memphis Depay is putting his name in the scoring sheet or in the assist sheet. And Memphis to score or assist pays 1.8. And honestly, on the basis of what he's been doing lately, I mean, I have to trust that Memphis is going to do something special too, or at least to put his name, you know, in the sheet as a scorer or as an assister. But there are many more things that many more odds that I do like here. This game is probably my favorite to put my money on. For example, over 2.25 goals, I like this one too, 181. Or even Netherlands to lead after 30 minutes, that pays 288. It's a lot of money, I know, and it's a little bit more speculative, but they are in a very good form. And as you said, Edu, Wales probably, they feel that they have done what they had to do. I wouldn't discard that probably the manager gave them like some time off after qualifying for the World Cup, after beating Ukraine. So, you know, I think that this is Netherlands to win. They are on a hype after beating Belgium. And on top of that, probably they are taking this competition seriously because the Netherlands haven't won a tournament since Euro 88 and even winning the Nations League. I think that is sweet for them. So I'm going to back them here, as I said before, with all the things I said. And I'm going to single out Memphis Depay as the potential scorer or assister.
I think Wales, by the way, congratulations to them for going to the World Cup, but they overachieved. They overachieved. I mean, it is a team that, if you look at the FIFA ranking, is the 12th, 13th European team in the FIFA ranking. 13 European teams go to the World Cup, so they are there or thereabout, really. But they overachieved because it's a team full of players that play at a lower level than international football, League One, Championship. There's only one star player, which is Bale, and the other ones, you know, Ramsey, James, good players, great team spirit. Against Ukraine, Wales didn't deserve to win. We have to be honest. I think Hennessy had the game of his life, made 5 or 6 saves. The Ukrainians squandered a lot of chances. Wales scored through an own goal. I'm not sure they would have scored otherwise, but they are to the World Cup, so congratulations to them. So out of a sudden, this game becomes a bit like a World Cup rehearsal for Wales as well. But as Álvaro said rightly, you know, it comes very quickly after such an important game. So I would imagine Robert Page to make a few changes, but don't underestimate the Wales team spirit. This is a team that in World Cup qualifiers, Euro qualifiers, Nations League as well. At home, they've done really well. Wales plays in the Nations League A because they got promoted last year from Nations League B, and they won most of the games at home, but okay, against lesser opposition. But they do concede chances, I would say. It is a team liable to always give an opportunity. And the Netherlands, they're mesmerizing. They don't give you reference points in attack. They interchange position very quickly. Sometimes Bergwijn is the most advanced player. Blind on the left as well gives a lot of stability. Dumfries goes to the box. So, you know, this Netherlands team means business. Can create chances, can score. They are unbeaten under Van Gaal. Last four games, they beat Denmark, they beat Norway, they beat Belgium, they drew with Germany. I can understand why they're favorite here. It could be a game with a lot of goals. Over 2.5 goals, 2.16.
It's not bad. That,
very quickly.
Yeah, Alvaro?
No, Edu, very quickly. I was going to say that if you go for the both teams to score market, but only in one half, the money is fantastic. Yeah. Both teams to score in the second half, that pays 4. Mm-hmm. And in a game with the Netherlands and Wales, I don't think that this is too impossible.
Not bad odds at all if we back the Netherlands, even if they are a favorite. We spoke in the first match day that was almost a no-brainer going for Poland because Wales was thinking in the final against Ukraine. I think kind of the same we can say in that game with Wales still Hanover after that great achievement led, by the way, by Gareth Bale. And we have to praise him, of course, for leading a team with not a lot of quality, but he was the captain and he participated also in the winner. And we are going to analyze also the third match day of the Portuguese and Spanish and Czech and Swiss group. First game is Portugal, Czech Republic, the best two teams in this Nations League in this group, with Portugal thrashing Switzerland and getting a point against Spain, and the Czechs performing also very well, punishing Spanish mistakes in defense and beating Switzerland. Dani, Portugal so favorite. Be careful, or you agree with these odds?
I do agree. I see Portugal favorites. I think what they needed against Spain was a finisher because Leao missed so many goals. You know, you put a finisher on the pitch, you put Ronaldo on the pitch, he scores two, his movement is so good. And, you know, Portugal were winners after already 45 minutes, really. They play well. They had maybe a bit of a slow start in the first 10 minutes, but then, you know, the quality against the Swiss, you know, in the end, came through. Bruno Fernandes, Jota, Cancelo, they did a very, very good job in the 4-0 victory. And I think Portugal got so many options up front. You know, you got Ricardo Horta, you got Carvalho, you got Andres Silva. You know, they can choose, they can change, but I think they will continue to start with Ronaldo, and they could really, with a win, run clear in this group and almost secure a place in the finals. But, you know, careful with the Czech Republic, because I think we wrote them off perhaps a little bit too early because they are missing two of the best players, Schick and Barak, but they show a lot of commitment, a lot of hard work. This time they score two beautiful goals against Spain, whereas against Switzerland, the goals were a little bit lucky. But it is a team that, you know, despite setting up on the counter-attack, they still concede a few chances. They are not perfect in defense. You know, a few good saves from the click. Against the Swiss, he was the man of the match. They concede a few chances. Spain hit the woodwork twice. So, you know, it's not watertight, if you like, Czech Republic, but organized. I can see goals in this one as well. Again, over 2.5 goals, 2.21. I think that's a very generous odds.
It was a weekend like the old times, Álvaro, with Leo Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo scoring both a lot of goals.
Yeah, important goals for them, obviously. Cristiano Ronaldo needed to score after not having started against Spain, and he did it. And the truth is that, you know, his positioning was perfect in the box. I think that Cristiano Ronaldo was in the right place at the right time to score the goals. He didn't do anything spectacular when it came to the movement, but he was just the wisdom that he acquired over the years. You know, I did like the Czech Republic against Spain. I think that they did the kind of game that Spain uses to face a lot. I think that no team in the world is facing normally games like Spain does, because they've got so much possession that the opponent team knows that the best possible way of getting a point or a victory against Spain is just sitting back and playing counterattacks, and the Spanish defense is not reliable collectively and especially individually, in my opinion, with Eric García being awful again yesterday in the second goal. And the opponents know that the only way or the best way to capitalize against Spain is to launch quick counterattacks. And the Czech Republic did it very well the other day, and their defense stayed very tight against Spain. So, yes, I think that the Czech Republic did a very good game, and they come into this game probably oozing with a little bit of confidence after getting a 2-2 draw, but it could have been a 2-1 win for them. But Portugal at home, I was breaking down this with Danail and Daniele the other day. Portugal at home normally scores goals, especially not in friendlies, but in competitive matches like Nations League, World Cup qualifiers, Euro qualifiers. Normally Portugal at home scores. So, you know, that's why I think that the best possible money here is in the Asian handicap, negative Asian handicap for Portugal, like for example Asian handicap -1.25 for them, that pays 198. It almost doubles up your bet. And I also like Portugal scoring many goals, like for example Portugal to score in both halves, that pays 2.4. and yeah, those would be my favorite bets probably. And also, even if you think that the Czech Republic could add a goal or two here or there, you kind of send the both teams to score market to the second half, and you go for the over 1.25 goals in the second half, that pays 184. So as you can see, I expect Portugal to win comfortably, but on top of that, I expect goals, and also in the second half. So yeah, those are my favorite picks.
Especially if Cristiano Ronaldo is on the pitch, because he's always looking for the records, and this is a good game to keep scoring. And the last game, let's go a bit quicker with this one, Switzerland-Spain. Álvaro, you mentioned the mistakes that Spain are committing in the defensive area. Eric García, there was some controversy in the list because Nacho was not there, and Nacho's been great for Real Madrid, and Eric García has been awful the whole season, and he's playing for the national team. Tough game for Spain.
Yeah, it's a tough one. In the qualification for Euro 2020, Spain suffered a little bit against Switzerland. It wasn't easy for them. At the same time, the Swiss are a team that they need the points too, because they lost to Portugal and they obviously have to recover very quickly. But here I'm going to back Spain because they have drawn two games. What Luis Enrique did against the Czech Republic, in my opinion, was too much of a heavy rotation. He should have rotated a bit less. The team changed a lot. I think the side that started against Portugal is more likely to start in the World Cup than the side that started against the Czech Republic. So I expect Luis Enrique to put a more similar or to start a more similar team to the team that played against Portugal than the team that played against the Czech Republic, which is good for Spain. So here I'm going to go for an Asian handicap of -0.25 for Spain. Very quickly, that pays 170, and it means for our listeners to know that if Spain win, you win, and if Spain draws, you get half a lose.
I think, yes, Luis Enrique risked it a bit too much. He changed the entire back four against the Czech Republic. Spain lacked a little bit something in defense. You know, these are two teams with a lot of defensive lapses. Czech Republic had a lot of chances. Portugal, of course, had a lot of chances, could score more. And, you know, the things that impresses me negatively with Switzerland is that they conceded a couple of goals against Portugal on the counter-attack. You know, they were supposed to sit deep and defend. If they lose that, you know, they lose 50%, I think, of their strength. And, you know, also strangely that Yakin decided to go with Seferovic, a very physical center forward, against Pepe and Danilo, instead of sticking with at least one between Embolo, for example, and Okafor up front. I think we'll see these two pair against Spain. It could cause a problem on the counter. I don't entirely trust the Spain defense, but I think if they are more clinical, they could win the game. I go for both to score on this one, 199.
All right, six more games in this midweek in the Nations League, so we don't get bored in this start of summer, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. Danny, let's see what Aka do you have for us.
Germany and England, both team to score. Italy-Hungary, under 2.5 goals. Poland, Belgium, Poland, both need to score, and Portugal to beat Czech Republic.
Czech Republic.
The total odds, yeah, total odds are 10.71.
And Álvaro, tell us yours. You don't look like in the summer suit, I have to say.
No. It's pretty cold where I am. Right, very quickly, Germany, England, both teams to score. Belgium, Poland, Belgium to win. Wales, Netherlands, over 2.25 goals and over 1.25 goals in the second half of the game between Portugal and Czech Republic. Altogether, 10.3.
Thank you, guys. See you this week. Bye bye.
Ciao. Speak soon.
Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoy the video. Remember to leave your comments, to press the like, to subscribe, and also that we have a podcast for you. Thanks for watching. Enjoy Nations League.